Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
This is a sign at Goldie's Bagels in Columbia, Missouri. We are both wearing neckties. Very nice. Raise your hand if you're wearing a necktie. There you go. Three of us, three very nice neckties in the room today. All right. So this is Goldie's Bagels in Columbia, Missouri. So you can see this is like on top of sort of the bagel display case. They've got this sign, and the sign at the top says, "Whoever needs, come and eat." And it cites a passage from the Talmud, which is a Jewish collection of writings that are based on the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, just like we have in our Bible. And so it says, whoever needs, come and eat. And so the way this works, and there's more text on the sign that says this, the way this works is that if you need some food, but you don't have money for it today, you can come in and say, I would like a coffee and a bagel, and charge it to the neighbor's account. The neighbor's account. And if you want to contribute to the neighbor's account, and you happen to be at Goldie's Bagels in Columbia, Missouri, you can do that too. So you can pay into the neighbor's account, or you can ask for a bagel and coffee from the neighbor's account. So this is a really, really deep idea in Jewish tradition, in Christian tradition, in lots of different religious traditions, in lots of different ethical traditions for people who are not religious. Loving your neighbor means feeding them when they're hungry. That's like a starting point for loving your neighbor, right? So we are about to read a story that you might recognize because it's a pretty famous story about Jesus. But I wanted to show you this to show you that Jesus is not making this stuff up. This is an idea that Jesus already knew, even this very famous story that we are going to listen to together. You ready?
Our prayer for illumination. Lord God, pour out your spirit upon us to bring good news to the oppressed, and let your word be fulfilled among us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today's scripture lesson reading is from Matthew 14, 13, 21, page 19 in the New Testament on your pew Bible. Just another footnote. As some of you may know, I was raised in a Methodist church in Marshalltown. And one of the first Bible readings that I remember and always impressed me was the favorite of feeding over 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. Like I say, for a sheltered kid in Marshalltown, I just couldn't comprehend how you did that. And I'm not a very good Bible scholar, as Lee Cox will testify. But that one passage, like I say, and I happened to be fortunate enough to take a trip to Israel, and I was fairly close to where that supposedly took place. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "Well, we have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The finance committee was meeting
That's a bad transition from that beautiful song, right? The finance committee was meeting, and it was very early, several weeks into the pandemic. So that's a couple disasters ago. And during those early days of the pandemic, we had just figured out how to use Google Meet so that we could have virtual meetings without being in the same air with each other. So the finance committee was meeting, and they realized in those early days that, you know, a lot of us have done a good job figuring out how to do things like order food online and have it delivered to our house and pay for it with money that we had earned earlier in our lives or that we had earned from that same part of our house that we were ordering the food from. But we realized that, you know, the total breakdown of society as we knew it didn't happen as, you know, maybe we suspected it might. And in fact, some parts of the before times were very much alive and well. Parts of the before times, like the fact that when something bad happens, it hits those who are poor and disadvantaged harder than it hits most everybody else. We figured that out fairly quickly. And we knew that there were people around us dealing with layoffs and quarantines and loss of childcare and struggling to stay fed and housed and clothed and the like. And we knew that the financial consequences of the pandemic were landing the hardest on those who had the least margin to work with. So the finance committee was meeting. See, this is getting better. The finance committee was meeting virtually, and they said, you know, the church has enough money. The member giving has really kept up, has done very well, and there are people out there who need money more than the church needs the money. And so there was a process of discernment. We are Presbyterian, after all. There was a proposal to the session. There was the formation of a committee. There was some bookkeeping magic. And before long, we had gathered together from some existing funds about $30,000 to set up a fund for COVID relief, not to relieve people's COVID. We are not qualified for that, but to relieve the financial consequences that come from that. And so over the next couple of years, we distributed most of that money to church members, Head Start families, and others within our reach who had those financial needs brought on by the pandemic. We spent about $24,000 of that $30,000 fund. But in the meantime, we had additional contributions come into that fund that made up most of the amount that we dispersed. So get out your calculator. We started with $30,000, we spent $24,000, and we have $25,000 left. So we are doing well. Now, I almost couldn't tell my colleagues who served other churches at that time how this fund came about. I wanted to like tell stories of like I had to arm wrestle the treasurer to make this work. But I just about couldn't explain to my colleagues that my finance committee, of all people, had come up with this idea to give away some of the church's money. The finance committee, the people whose job is to tell us not to upset the balance sheet, are the ones who came up with this idea to upset the balance sheet. This stuff just doesn't happen. This is unnatural. But it's no surprise to me that it happened here at Covenant, because we didn't arrive at the idea of a COVID-19 relief fund overnight. We have practiced the generosity that that embodies for decades. Covenant takes pride in how much of our annual budget we give away to other organizations, causes, and projects in the community that make the world a little bit closer to what God intended for our neighbors. We are continually asking those questions about how we, our building, our funds, our real estate, our skills, can be a blessing for our neighbors. Which is to say that Covenant is a church that has worked to make generosity a habit. We've been talking all summer about habits of the gospel, talking about practices and patterns of life that help our gospel become good news. That's what the word gospel means, become good news for our neighbors. And so we've talked about some obviously churchy things like worship and prayer and sacraments, and we've talked about some sort of broadly agreed on virtues like radical welcome and justice. We've talked about things that maybe you didn't think of as gospel, like fellowship. And today we're talking about generosity, giving good things to others freely and abundantly. And so we're learning from this familiar story, this one that even Warren Pitcher learned when he was in Sunday school, about Jesus feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They were very large fish, evidently. This is clearly a story about generosity and a story about Jesus' miraculous action and ability. But when you look deeper, this is also a discipleship story. Jesus is teaching his disciples about generosity, about how generosity reveals God in us. The disciples see this enormous crowd. They can even only count the men. They run out of fingers after that. And they want to send this enormous crowd away to go buy some food. And instead, Jesus challenges the disciples to feed the crowd themselves instead. And of course, Jesus does a miracle. That's an important part of the story. But Jesus' challenge is about calling the disciples' attention away from what they are perceiving as this lack, that there is no way there is enough. He calls their attention away from that into recognizing what they have to share, recognizing what they have with them that's available. He calls them to think outside the basket, as it were. Generosity is a practice, is a habit rather, that takes some practice. You have to grow into that kind of generosity. And that's what Jesus is trying to do there. He's trying to grow some generosity among these disciples, to shape their attention so that they can recognize the opportunity that they have to share. And we also know that that very act of sharing, that very act of giving, actually inspires more generosity. Now, generosity is not just about sort of the willy-nilly disposal of our resources. Generosity is a response to the presence and the urging of Jesus. It's about recognizing what we have and what our neighbor needs at the same time. Generosity is not some ironclad rule that there is one specific way to do it and know that you've done it. Generosity is about that invitation to pray and discern, recognize, and respond. Generosity is good news for our neighbors when it begins where all the gospel begins, when it begins in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It begins there and it grows until there are 12 basketfuls left over. It's like when you try to give away the church's money, but there's just more money to share when you're done. So your finance committee is at it again, just as a heads up to you all. Now that really the most cataclysmic financial impacts of the COVID pandemic have passed for most families, requests to the COVID relief fund have gone quiet. If you have needs or know someone who does have needs, we will continue to receive those requests. But we know that business has largely gone away. The church's attention has moved on to other more pressing matters, like getting the in-person tabletop luncheon in quick before the ceiling fell any further, and hiring a new office coordinator, just saying. But that is why we have a finance committee. We have a finance committee so that even when we are busy and distracted with other things, that committee can pay attention to the money that God has entrusted to us for Christ's mission, to ensure that there will be enough. And there is. There is enough, says the finance committee. There is enough in that erstwhile COVID relief fund that it would be sinful, they're saying, to leave it sitting unused. And so the finance committee is telling us that we got to find something else to do with this money. The finance committee is saying that because sanctification is real. So the question that I don't have an answer to this morning, that your finance committee does not yet have an answer to, the question is, what is the best way for what we have to be good news for our neighbors? We don't have those answers yet. There's plenty of thoroughly Presbyterian discernment yet to do, but that's the question by the power of the Holy Spirit. How can what we have become good news for our neighbors? We're asking, given what we have, how can we share that good news, that gospel, with our neighbors? That is generosity when it becomes a habit of the gospel. So I thank God for that gospel, for those habits, for that good news. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
One way we do demonstrate God's goodness to everyone is through our regular mission budget giving. A portion of that every quarter goes to support the Food Bank of Iowa. We know that nearly 300,000 Iowans are experiencing hunger, and providing adequate nutrition for those struggling with food insecurity is not a one-time fix. It's a challenge that requires three good meals a day for every Iowan. So to provide those meals, the Food Bank of Iowa works with a vast network of 650 partners who distribute healthy food to families in need. They are thankful for each and every partner, and we are thankful that Covenant can be one of those partners. Covenant and all our mission partners welcome your support.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.